take your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I'm going to say for the kids, they've been asking about Tiki. Lord willing, Tiki's going to be back next week, okay, next Sunday. And don't let me forget, all right, Caleb?
You bet.
What's next Sunday? Thank you. All right. The songs, it always amazes me how smart God is. Isn't God smart? Every song related to the message this morning, and I know that when that happens, that the Holy Spirit's been moving on everyone's heart that's involved, because I did not take Brian and Norma, Brian and Connie, and say, okay, here's what I'm preaching on. I want you all to line the songs up with it. And I appreciate them praying before they lead singing, before Connie sings. She prays at my house. It's like a rehearsal theater in there. She'll try, I can hear her in there, and she'll do like two or three songs. And I've heard her before go, okay, Lord, I know that's not it, you know. And so it's exciting for me when that happens. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Not too long ago, I touched on the idea of heaven. And I don't think that you could, in any one message, ever really deal with the topic thoroughly. And there's been a lot of books, a lot of movies put out about heaven in the last 5 or 6 years. It seems like people have a hunger for heaven. But I'm going to tell you something. That is not new. People have always had an idea somewhere back in their brains, regardless of where they live, what culture they're in, that there's more than this. That this life isn't all there is. The Apostle Paul, in another place, he said, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. If this is it, you know, but it's not it. And so in chapter 5 and verse 6 and following, we have these words. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 and following. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present for the with the Lord. In another version, it's worded this way. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I bow before you. I thank you for the folks that are here today. I thank you for the opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk and share your word. And it's exciting to hear what you're doing in our church, among our young people. Lord, in the church as a whole, we're grateful for that. We know it's you. We just ask you that you would just work through this service, that you would use me, Father, to be a blessing to someone here today. And God, you know my heart. I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher. I want you to speak through this message to somebody today and bless them real good, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have you ever had your GPS lie to you? Well, I'll tell you what. I've had two that I've used. And when they came out with the one that had the woman speaks in an English accent, I thought the directions would be better. But I'm telling you the truth. I decided one day, no matter what happened, I was going to follow the GPS. I didn't care where it said turn, what it said to do, I was going there. I read some stories on the internet of where people ended up by following their GPS. Mine didn't end as badly as theirs did. One lady, they had rented a car. It was a lady and her friend. They were in America from Japan, knew nothing, and were following the GPS. It was nighttime, and they turned and followed a road, and the next thing they knew, they were in a lake, because the GPS had taken them down a boat ramp that years before had been a road. And they ended up having to fish their rental car out of the water. Now, mine wasn't that bad. Now, Dwight delivers for a living. I'm sure he can appreciate this. I was driving out toward Lawrenceburg, and I mean in the middle of nowhere. You do understand in Tennessee, besides around us, there are places that are marked highways that are still dirt. You get out that, there are dirt roads out there. And I remember the GPS told me to hang a left, and I could see there wasn't even one piece of gravel on this road. It was just dirt. Well, I decided I'm going to follow. So it carried me down this road, carried me up this hill. It was beautiful. I could look down over this valley, and it's gorgeous. The place I was looking for, I could not find. It was nowhere in sight. So I decided I was going to still follow the GPS. It would talk, and I would follow. Turn left, I'd turn left. You know, it'd say turn right, I'd turn right. And the next thing I know, I am in, like, this gate to a pasture. And I decide I'm going to follow it. So Justin, I followed it. I get on this pig path, and that was being kind, and it takes me down through. There's corn on either side, and I'm going down through this guy's field, and I come to the other side, and fortunately, the gate was open on both sides, and I come out, and sure enough, I come out in the middle of a state highway. All I'm going to say is, most of the time, you can follow your GPS. But did you know that inside every one of us, there's like a spiritual GPS that tugs at our heart and pulls us toward heaven? If you are a child of God, I will say this, and I'm not trying to step on anybody or go contrary to what you may personally feel, but I believe just about everybody in this room has had a time when they wish they could just go ahead and go to heaven. Maybe life was hard, maybe it was good, but do you know what you can't escape? That tug, that there's something there trying to give you direction to go where God is. I believe that's the Lord. The Bible says that no man can come to the Father except he be drawn. If you're here today, you're here not just because somebody invited you, but because God has tugged at your heart. And that tug is to lead us to heaven. So what I would title this today, if I were to give it a title, would be the tug of heaven. What is it that pulls us to heaven? Years ago, a young boy was flying a kite, and he had decided that he was going to use every bit of string he could find. He tied string together with string together, and he wound it up, and he went out. It was a gorgeous day, and he run his kite up, and he's sitting there, and it went way up so far he could not see it. You could see the string bowing, but he could not see the kite. The fellow walked by. You know, people ask you some strange questions, don't they? They asked him, said, what are you doing? He said, I'm flying my kite. He said, how do you know that your kite is really up there? He said, I can feel the tug on the string. And I'm here to tell you, that tug of heaven comes to your heart because heaven is real. It's not imagination. It's not pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. It is literally a place. And the scripture is very clear. It never paints it as just this mystical peace of mind. It just doesn't picture it as just an imaginary place. As a matter of fact, the reason that tug comes to everybody is explained in scripture. In Ecclesiastes, it says this, that God has also set eternity in the human heart. One version says. I don't care what culture you are in, there's something that tugs at you that says, this is not it. There's more than this. And I want you to hear me this morning. There's more than this. If somebody were to ask me about that day when we see Jesus, well, I'd say it'd be a day when we're freed from sin and suffering and when we'll be united with the witnesses of the faith. And we sing about being there 10,000 years and we hear sermons like this about what it'll be like. And we do our best to imagine it from a biblical description. But what is it that we're really looking forward to? Why do we feel that tug from heaven? And I'm going to give you three reasons why heaven tugs at your preacher's heart, and hopefully your heart. The first reason is my home is there. The Bible says in Hebrews, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. My home is in heaven. Now, if you ask me what my address is, I'd say 70 Rebecca Drive. Now, don't show up in the middle of the night, teenagers, and toilet paper mine. Okay? Please don't. I had a group of kids in the neighborhood decided to do that. Now, they were ingenious, too. They also forked my yard. Well, yeah. Well, I'm going to help them out. They forked my yard. If you don't know what that is, good. And so what I did is I heard something. I went outside, and I mean to tell you that there had to be a Charmin plant working extra shifts to take care of what they did. And I was out there, and the dew was just starting to settle. Now, let me give you some advice. If you're going to clean toilet paper out of your house, off your yard, do it before it gets wet. And I got most of it up, and I'm grunting and groaning as I'm picking it up, you know. And it was years before we found out who did it. And he thought it was so hilarious. But I would love to tell you I was so spiritual. As I bent over and picked up each plastic fork shoved in the ground, that I was saying, Jesus, thank you for this opportunity. But I didn't. That's not what your preacher says. My address might be at 70 Rebecca Drive, but my home is in heaven. When I joined the Army, they had us fill out on our records our permanent address. And you know what I've learned about life? In the age we're living in, very few of us ever have a permanent address down here. You may be born in the same house, and unless you die in the same house, somewhere somebody's going to take you and move you somewhere else. Now, when you get so old that you can't care for yourself, please don't ever tell your family, don't you dare put me in a nursing home. I never tell my kids that, but I always wanted them to wait till I really needed to go. But the truth of the matter is there may come a time where they can't take care of you at home. And the best place for you is a good place where people can help you. But whatever you think, you may think you're going to live out all your days at your current address. But I'm here to tell you, if you are a Christian, you don't have a permanent address down here. The Bible says that of Abraham, he was looking for that city that God built. You and I as Christians are looking for that place that God has built us. Amen? And the Bible says because of that, he dwelt in tents. Now that's significant because the Bible teaches that Abraham was very wealthy. No doubt, he had the finest house in Ur of the Chaldees where he came from. There's no telling the gardens he had and the beautiful building that he lived in. But the Bible says he left that looking for something else. And I'm here to tell you, though you get the finest house on earth, you ought to be looking for something better, and it's not down here. Because you see, our home is not a permanent address down here. In Colossians, the Bible says that we are to set our affection and our heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The problem is, and the reason that Abraham dwelt in tents was because he was never designed to find a nice green patch somewhere here on earth and say, okay, this is it, I'm staying here. God had something better in mind for him, so he dwelt in tents. Why? Because it was designed for him to pull up the stakes and move somewhere else. Did you know that one day God's going to call and you are going to leave here? You and I are going to leave here and move somewhere else. That somewhere else is the place we call heaven if you're a child of God. And by the way, not everybody goes to heaven, but everybody will appear before God. And the Bible tells me about my home. I've heard descriptions of it, and it's interesting as I look at it. Connie and I have been looking at houses trying to decide where God would have us to move. And if your house is not too crowded, let us know. No, I'm just kidding. But we're looking. And so what happens, I get these emails from Zillow. And Zillow says, here, this looks like something you're searching for. And I'll look at it. Connie will look at it and we'll go, no, that's not it. Because it's one of those deals, when you see it, you'll know it. You with me? And I'm here to tell you, though I have never seen heaven, when I do, I know that I know that I know I'll be home. I know this is the place. There will be no misunderstanding about it. I'll know. My permanent address is number 1, 2, 3, or 10 billion on the streets of glory in a place called heaven. That's our permanent home if you're a child of God. Amen. You see, my permanent address is there, and that's why it's home. My peace is there. The Bible says, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. My peace is there. Listen, you don't have to worry. My dad, God bless his soul, now that he's getting older to the point where he cannot hear as well, and he can't react as well, he closes his house up at, like Fort Apache at night. Now, I would strongly recommend you call him if you're going over. Dad carries guns. He can't hear, but he can still shoot. So I would recommend that you call him and tell him. Or I'll call him and say, now, Dad, I'm coming over between such and such and such a time. But what's happened is, down here, he feels for the first time in his life, this was a man that was in the Marine Corps, that was a man's man, but for the first time in his life, he's afraid somebody's going to come up on him, and he's going to be asleep, or he's not going to hear it. And I'm here to tell you, no matter how good your house is here, there'll come a day when you don't feel as secure in your house as you used to. Justice can tell you what it's like to have a house busted into. You feel violated, don't you? And you realize you're not as secure as you thought. I'm here to tell you, no matter how big, how strong, or how many Rottweilers or Dobermans you got, somebody can still break into this house. Jesus warned us. He warned us about that, about laying all our treasure up here. Because folks, this is just for a little while. But we've got a home in heaven that God has made for us. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, as I've shared with you recently. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The book of Revelation that I just read said that in heaven there will enter no unclean thing. I said, well, preacher, that must leave me out. I got news for you, it leaves me out. Because if I go like I've been and like I used to be, there's no way I can make it. Because the only way that you can go is to become clean. You say, well, I don't stand a chance then. By the way, I'm not talking about cleaning up your life and becoming religious. The only way that you and I can go to heaven is by a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know why? He's the only perfect person. He's the only perfect one. And he died for your sin. He took your sin. You got two choices. You either stay like you are, or you accept Christ as your Savior. You either go before God as you are. And the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. You will appear before God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But also the Bible says it's appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment. So when you go and you appear before God, you are either written in the Lamb's book of life because you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and though your sins were just as many as somebody else, it's marked paid in full by Jesus. Or you can go on your own and try to make it, and you won't. Because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Not through joining the church, not through getting baptized, not through being religious. Though, by the way, I think if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you ought to get baptized. Because Jesus said to, the Bible teaches it. It's an example to show others that the old person has been buried and a new one has been resurrected. And you see that home up there has got some mighty fine neighbors. Now, we've got a visitor today, and I'm not going to embarrass him. I'm just going to tell you that he's moved in here local, and we found out he's got a lot of good neighbors. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of good people that live here. And I can tell you real quick, you can pick out which ones aren't as good. Because there's probably a few of them up and down these hollers too. But there are some good neighbors. You know what kind of neighbors you get in hell? You don't want them. Some of you said, I've lived by them before. You may have. And you may see them again if you don't know Jesus. But do you know what kind of neighbors you have when you go home to heaven? The Bible says the nations of them that are saved shall walk in it. You will have brothers and sisters in Christ all around you. You will have an incredible time. Your neighbors are amazing. So my permanent address is there, and my peace is there, and my pilgrim citizenship is there. In Philippians it says this, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like His own, using the same power with which He will bring everything under His control. The Bible teaches that as Christians, we are pilgrim sojourners. We're on a journey. Guess where the journey's to? Heaven. And we're not at home down here. The whole idea of Abraham using a tent and driving stakes in the ground was because it was to be a temporary dwelling. And he was looking for a house that God built. And by the way, he found it. And it wasn't down here. It's in glory. Amen. You see, my home is here. That's the first reason. The second reason is my heart is up there. My home's there, but my heart is there. In Philippians, Paul said this, I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and to be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, he's saying to these young Christians that he was teaching and sharing the word with, it is better that I continue to live. And again, I remind you, it says in Colossians, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. My heart's in heaven. Is yours? Mine is. I can tell you. You know why? My treasure's there. I had somebody the other day ask me which bank I use, and I told them I was satisfied with it, and they've done a good job. And we'll recommend banks to people, but I want to tell you about a bank that's never been broken into, that's never lost a dime, and it pays more interest than all the banks in the world combined. It's called Heaven's Bank. Amen. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that treasure is going to be different than you think. Two angels were talking, the story is told, and they're looking down at earth, and they see men killing each other for gold. One angel looks to the other one and says, why in the world are they killing themselves for paving stones? I think our treasure in heaven is going to be different. Kathy, you know what you got your arm around right there? Treasure. Mandy, you know what's laying on your lap? Is treasure. The only thing we can take to heaven with us is other people. And the only people, I'll be honest with you, I love every one of them. I hope all of you make it to heaven. But the ones that would keep me up at night are the ones I love. And I want to know, I want to be sure that they're ready. They don't have to come through Chip to be ready, but they got to come through Jesus. And I want to be sure there. And part of that reason I want to go to heaven is I want to see what that treasure is. Is that treasure that old feller that I prayed with in a nursing home and on his dying bed with his last breath, he asked Jesus to come into his heart? Is that part of the treasure we'll see in heaven? Is it some of the kids that I've had the opportunity to work with over the years in Christian school that I've seen that were rough and tough, and now I look at them at Facebook and they're talking about the Lord? And I'll be honest with you, I'm a man of faith, but some of those kids I really wondered about. And to see them now living for Jesus, one girl in particular, she is a great lady and loves Jesus and has an open witness. She was rough as a cob when she was a senior in high school. I wondered what would happen to her, but I'm going to tell you what happened to her. Jesus happened to her. And I wonder if some of the people you've influenced, maybe somebody you've invited to church, and they've come and they've given their heart to Jesus, isn't that the treasure maybe that we're going to see up there? I know it's not going to be gold, and it's not going to be diamonds. I think it's things that really matter. When the tornado comes through, the first things you want to know is, where are your loved ones, and are they okay? And I'm telling you what, in heaven, if they've died and gone before you, they're more than okay. My treasure is there. My reward is there. The Apostle Paul understood that. He said this in 2 Timothy, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. My reward is there. You say, Chip, do you believe in rewards in heaven? Absolutely. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. But I'm going to be honest with you. More than my treasure, more than my rewards, I can't wait to see my kinfolk that are up there. How many of you got folks that were sent on ahead of you? Listen to me. The Bible says that you and I are encompassed round about with so great a cloud of witnesses, describing those that are in heaven who keenly look on this world. And you say, well, how could they be happy in heaven when they see how bad this world is? Everything's about perspective. And when you see it from God's vantage point, you know that God is still in charge. And you know where they're going. You'll know it'll be all right. My friend, listen. I've got loved ones up there. My mama's up there. My grandmama's up there. I was a little baby when my grandma held me. And I got a picture somewhere in some of my family stuff of her holding me as a little baby. That's all I know about my grandma on my mama's side. Never got to see her, talk to her. She never got to see me get my first teeth in and chew on her table legs. Never got to see it. Never got to see her. Don't remember. But one day I will. Because I found out that during a Billy Sunday crusade years and years ago, she had given her heart to Jesus. And I didn't know that till several years ago. I didn't realize that had happened. I wondered whether or not she'd even be there. Because on my mother and my dad's side, both of them strong alcoholics on that side, and they've had a rough road to hoe, and I had no idea. But I did hear that, and it encouraged me. I was also encouraged on my dad's side to find out that my grandfather, whose name's also Alex, that's my real name, his name's also Alex, that shortly before he died, he gave his heart to Jesus. But I won't be honest with you. I can't wait to see my daughter. God knows, some days I miss her so bad. I know where she is, but I miss her. Because I'm here, she's there. And I'm telling you, some days your preacher gets homesick for heaven. Because my mama's there, my daughter's there. But I'm just going to be honest with you, more than anything, I know my treasure's there. I know my reward's there. My kin are there. But my Savior's there. In Peter's writing, he said this, speaking of Jesus, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. As y'all were singing along with Connie, I was watching y'all taking it in, and several of you were getting happy at the singing about the name of Jesus. You do understand that one day that name will be a reality, and we will see him. We will look upon him that was pierced for us. And we will be able to walk up and touch him and thank him. And I'm telling you, I'm not home down here because my home's up there. Because my heart's there. And I want you to know, not only is my home there and my heart there, my hope is there. I don't mean like, well, I sure hope it doesn't rain, or I sure hope that job comes through, or I hope I do this. No, for the Christian, you've got to understand in the Greek, that word hope means a settled assurance that it will be. And I'm telling you, for heaven is a holy hope. I know it will be. The Bible says, I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What day? That day that I go home to be with him. My hope is there. John shared in the book of Revelation, he said, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. And all these former things are gone forever. Oh, thank God my hope is there. What hope is there? Well, finally, there will be freedom from sin. You know whose sin bothers me more than anyone else in the whole church? Mine. to finally escape my own pettiness and hatred and selfishness, to be free from all feelings of guilt. Oh, what a day. I long for freedom from sin, and God has promised me that day exists. It will no longer, even if I'm not sinning, but sin impacts our lives, doesn't it? The drunk runs head on into a mom and her children and kills them. His sin dispatches and brings pain out to the hearts of many others. Sin, if it's not affected directly by your sin, the sins of others impact everybody. Do not lie and say that your sin isn't hurting anybody. It's hurting other people and it's hurting the heart of God. And I thank God that my sin will no longer hurt the heart of God. That I will be in a place where there will be no sin, where I will finally be perfect. You say, Chip, what are we going to be like? The Bible says it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He, meaning Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Freedom from sin gives me hope. That's the hope I want. Freedom from pain. I never knew until I got to be years old that pain could be such a companion.
Amen.
I ache in places I didn't know I had places. And you wonder what that is. Now, I figured out, Monica, if it's here, it ain't the gallbladder, okay? I figured that out. And if it's my big toe, it's probably not my heart, usually. I'm telling you, this world has pain. Not only physical pain, but emotional pain. There are some of you in here that have gone through the valley of hell in emotional pain, and you wonder sometimes if it'll ever end. I'm here to tell you, yes, it's going to end. And some people make the mistake of thinking they're going to end it by putting a gun to their head or pills in their mouth, that somehow they'll end their pain. My friend, do not take that cop out. You only leave others in misery and yourself in hell. Be very careful what you do and the actions you take to try to get yourself out of your pain. Just the thought brings a flood of peace to be free completely from heartache, from brokenness, from sadness, and from disappointment. To be free of the fear of sickness and the weakness of the body. To know that I'll be able to shed all the struggle that this world churns out. And to be eternally comforted. Oh, how long. Oh, how long, Lord. Oh, my goodness. If that don't make you homesick for heaven. But you know, my friend, I think the best part in that verse I read, I'm going to read it again. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eye, and there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All these things are gone forever. We focus on the pain and the wiping away the tears. But you know what the most important thing is there? We get to be with God. In the Old Testament, Moses got to see God, but not like God. Anybody know why? What would happen in our mortal bodies if we were brought into the very presence of God's face? What would happen to us? We'd die. We can't. Our sin cannot exist in the presence of God. But the Bible says Moses said to God, God, why don't you let me see you? He could hear God. He's talking with God. God's talking with him. He said, God, why don't you just let me see you? And he said, here's what I'm going to do, Moses. There's a cleft of the rock there. There's a little break in the rocks there. I'm going to put you in there, and I'm going to cover you with my hand, and I'm going to pass by. And when I pass by, you're allowed to look up, and you can see me walking away, but you can't see my face and live. That is a beautiful picture, by the way, of what God does through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our cleft in the rock. We cannot see God like we are, and sin cannot exist in His presence. But when we trust Christ as our personal Savior, God puts us in the rock, Jesus. And He covers us there with His hand. That we might not be destroyed because of our own sinfulness, but we find forgiveness and grace and hope instead. I think the best thing about heaven, Diane's going to be able to see God. John said, I looked and I saw Him sitting on the throne. And man, He was there. And he describes it. In the Old Testament, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up and sitting on His throne. on any either side of him were the angels crying out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." One day you and I, we're going to see that. And I'll be honest with you, it tugs at my heart. And the reason it tugs is because it's real. The question that I throw out to you is, are you ready? Are you in the cleft of the rock, so to speak? Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? I love what Job said on this topic. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Another translation says of that, "Oh, how I long for that day." I'm going to just be honest with you. The tug of heaven is knowing that my home is there, knowing that my heart is there, and that my hope in Christ is there. Amen. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? I don't know this morning what you're facing, what you're going through, but I want you to know this, that God wants you to be of good courage and to know that while we're home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And we walk by faith, not by sight. And we're to be of good courage. And to be honest with you, there's more than one day I'd rather be in heaven than be on this old earth. Not because I'm suicidal, because I'm not. It's just that I've got something better over there. And I've got folks over there waiting for me, don't you? I can't wait to go home. When I went to Haiti, I had this little blue booklet. And it had an eagle on the front, embossed in silver. And when I opened it up, it had a picture of this handsome preacher. Yeah, it was me. And I went in there, and when I went to the gate, I had to present it. When I left the country, and when I came back in, and when I left Haiti, I had to present it. And they stamped it. And it showed where I had been. But by stamping that, I also knew this. There was an exit visa they had to stamp on it as well. Because the only way I could go home was to exit from Haiti. And I'm here to tell you, the only way we're going home is when we exit from here. And my question for you is, are you ready? Have you got your visa? I don't mean your MasterCard and visa. I mean, do you have God's sheet that says you are a citizen of heaven and you are going home one day? The only way to do that is by trusting Christ as your Savior. I'm going to ask Brian to come if he will, as he plays a bunch of imitation song. And maybe you're here and you've been kind of homesick for heaven. And God knew that, and he sent this word to you today. He basically wants to tell you and me, keep being homesick. And don't be comfortable, too comfortable down here. I could hear him whispering to Abraham, "Abraham, don't drive those tent stakes too deep. Because this isn't the city you're looking for." He says to you and me, "You may build a house, but don't count that as a forever home. You may build a place, and you may move in it, and it may have an address, and you may have every intent of staying there, but my friend, that is not your final address. It is not your permanent address." If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I can tell you where your permanent address is. If you don't change, it's in hell. And you don't want to go there, and God doesn't want you to go there. And the only way to go to heaven is through faith in Christ. Pray with me. Father, I bow before you. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. I am asking you, God, that you would speak to hearts. I've delivered what you've asked me to deliver. I've said what you wanted me to say. Now, God, it's on these folks. There's probably somebody here that's troubled in spirit, God. Things going on in their life. And maybe this morning, you just wanted to send a reminder to them that no, this is not going to last forever. Yes, there will be an end of this. And this is not all there is. Maybe there's somebody here that's missing their loved ones at home, and they just needed a reminder that heaven is real and their loved ones are waiting. God, maybe there's somebody here that doesn't know you. They don't have that relationship with you, and they need to give their heart and life to Jesus. Help them, God, to admit they're a sinner, to believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead as your Son for their sin and their salvation. And help them to be man and woman enough to stand and say, I confess Jesus with my mouth. I'm asking Him into my heart to be my Lord. And oh God, we thank You for Your mercies. I wonder today if there's someone that needs to come and just pray and say, God knows I'm just homesick for heaven. And you just want to come and kneel and just tell God, thank You for heaven. I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm ready to meet God. And I'm so glad that there's a heaven. You need to come and just thank Him for that. Why don't you come? This is your time. Why don't you come thank the Master of the Universe for creating a place for you and having a place ready for you? Why don't you just come and kneel and say, God, thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Maybe you're here and you're missing somebody today. And you just need to come and say, oh God, God, I miss them so bad. Just come and say, Father, I love You. Thank You for the truth of heaven, that heaven is real. And maybe you're here and you don't know the Lord and you need to come and say, I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart and life. I want to get things right with God. If that's you, why don't you slip out and come? And we'll be glad to pray with you and take the Word of God and show you what God says to do. Do you feel the tug from heaven? Maybe God sent this word to you today just as a tug to remind you that heaven is real. You can't see it, but you can feel the tug on the end of the line. And you know He's there. And you know it's real. If you have anything else that you want to pray about, this is your time. Why don't you come before we dismiss and just pray. Give it to God. Let's pray. Father, we come before You and thank You for the privilege of prayer. We thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house and to be with Your people. Thank You, God, for the tug from heaven. Thank You for letting us know it's real and reminding us today that we can have a home there based on our faith in Christ. Use it, we pray, this word today, and bless somebody real good, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.